when it's all been said and done. There is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? And when it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. That you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after. For you've shown me heaven's my true home when it's all been said and done. You're my life when life is gone. When it's all been said and there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I'll live my life for you.
Dear friends, welcome to the season of Lent here at St. Stephen's United Church. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. Even as we enter the wilderness of Lent, we rest in the shelter of the Most High. We abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We find refuge under the wings of our Holy Parent. We trust that the angels of God, the words of God, the people of God, the hands of God will somehow bear us up. And so we come to call on God, who has promised to answer. And as we wait upon that answer, let us light the Christ candle, reminding ourselves that Jesus is the light of the world. Let us come to prayer. As we follow Jesus into the unknown, may we recognize temptation when it comes. God of the desert, let it be your bread we eat. God of the wilderness, let it be your world we serve and you alone we worship. Amen. The prayer of confession gives us an opportunity each week to bring our brokenness to Jesus, and let him make us whole. Let us pray the prayer of confession. Most merciful God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, was tempted in every way, yet without sin, we confess before you that we have sinned. We have hungered after that which does not satisfy. We have compromised with evil. We have doubted your power to protect us. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Restore in us such love and trust that we may walk in your ways and delight in doing your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, one of the readings for this first Sunday in Lent is Psalm 91. So hear the promise that we find in that psalm. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. Brothers and sisters, be at peace. The Lord has heard your prayer and has forgiven your sins. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Today's reading is from the New Revised Standard Version, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, the testing of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, It is written, One does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered him, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
With this week, we have entered the season of Lent. And I'm just curious, how many of you are already missing chocolate or wine? In all seriousness, fasting is a traditional focus of Lent for many of us, as is prayer and even penitence. This is the season when we get quite intentional about traveling with Jesus as he makes his way towards the cross and towards his own death, all of which might seem a little gloomy at first glance, right? But bear with me here. Because there are gifts in Lent, gifts that I'm not sure we readily find in any other season of the Christian year. While we might be the kind of people who are generally oriented to try to see the glasses half full rather than half empty, there is some health and some strength to be found in facing the truth that is before every one of us every day. That life is not without its challenges and trials, the very things that often remind us that we are more vulnerable than we might like to think. And Lent is a time when we are especially aware of this. The cross may be on the distant horizon today, but with each Sunday that we gather, it's going to get closer and closer until there's no avoiding it. And maybe that's why Lent is a time when, in the words of one of my Lenten resources this year, we hold space for life's fragility. We don't deny it. We acknowledge it, even face it. All of which leads us right squarely into our scripture reading for today. This story of those weeks that Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil at every turn. As we heard, on the heels of his baptism, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He stayed there for 40 days, and during that time, he faced a number of temptations. We're told here of three of those. Three different occasions when the devil tempted Jesus to do some things that might, on the surface, seem quite reasonable and even good. It's not like he was tempting Jesus to kill someone or to hurt anybody. He just tempted him to turn a stone into bread to satisfy his hunger, to quickly expedite his goal of reaching the whole world, which the devil said could happen quickly if Jesus would just worship him, and to test God's promise to protect him by throwing himself off from the highest point of the temple. On each occasion, Jesus resisted the temptation with scripture passages that he knew by heart. Passages that, interestingly, all came from a short section of Deuteronomy between verses 6 and 8. The whole temptation story ends rather ominously, saying that the devil left him until an opportune time. And with that statement, again, we experience that Lenten dynamic of holding space for life's fragility. Jesus may have successfully withstood those 40 days, but there would be more to come. Well, I have two questions that jump to the forefront as I read this passage. Jesus had just been baptized, proclaimed to be God's own beloved son, and was about to embark on his public ministry. So why didn't he just launch straight into that? Why did he have to experience that time of temptation and testing in the wilderness? And second, why did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness and into what happened there? Well, to dig into those questions, we need to start with an honest look at some of the narratives we hold about how life tends to work, because these questions really do arise out of those narratives. Deep down, many of us hold the belief that times of difficulty and trial are most often the result of some missteps we've taken. We've messed up, and our situation is the consequence of that. Now, there are times when that is true, but not always. Sometimes our trials come because we live in a fallen, not yet perfect world, and so they are the consequences of factors beyond our control. Sometimes it doesn't matter how good or faithful we are. We still find ourselves facing challenges. And clearly, this was the case for Jesus here. Remember, he was the model of goodness and faithfulness. He never sinned or made a misstep. So as we all know, sometimes our trials are not our fault. Sometimes they just come. Another narrative that we might hold about how life works is that sometimes our trials have the potential to serve a good purpose. So perhaps that's why the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, because there was a good purpose to be served through his experiences there. There are a good number of scripture stories that happen in the wilderness. This isn't the only one by far. Quite a number of biblical figures find themselves there at one time or another. Biblically, the wilderness is often a very real place, but it also sometimes signifies something more than that. The wilderness can be a metaphor for times when things are uncertain or unpredictable, times when the path ahead seems unclear, and we are particularly aware of our vulnerabilities, of life's fragility. Things are tenuous in the wilderness. We tend to not feel safe when we're in the wilderness. Wow. There's not much there for us right now, is there? It seems that we actually might be in a wilderness time now, my friends, in this time of global and certainly national uncertainty. So maybe this is a particularly timely reading for us today. Well, feeling now like the stakes might be higher for us today than they are in an average uneventful week, what is the good news for us in this story? How does Jesus' temptation help us to endure right now in the midst of everything we are experiencing? Well, it probably goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's a good thing for truths like this to be spoken into the world. Ultimately, Jesus has dealt with the tempter, my friends. So while we might still experience his last-ditch attempts to lead us astray and away from the life of wholeness and abundance God has for us, in the end, those attempts will not prevail. Jesus' death on the cross has proven that God is more powerful than anything that would try to stand against him or his ways. He has proven that life is more powerful than death in any of its forms, period. So big picture, that is the good news that we hold on to. But there's more good news for us here. This story of Jesus' temptation is an invaluable guide for us as we face our own wilderness times. Here, Jesus shows us the way to get through these times and how to actually endure in the midst of them. So this story of Jesus' own temptation holds valuable lessons for us all. The first of those lessons: we don't go through the wilderness alone. Jesus wasn't alone. He wasn't just led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He was full of the Holy Spirit the whole time he was there. The Spirit was with him every step of the way, undoubtedly encouraging him, strengthening him, teaching and helping him to discern the best ways to respond to each of those sneaky little tests that he faced. As I said just a minute ago, the Bible has lots of stories about people in the wilderness and how God provided for their needs and accompanied them throughout those times. So our first lesson from this is that we are not alone. God is with us. God's Spirit will guide us if we'll just make time and space to look and listen for his leading. The second lesson Jesus teaches us is related to that why question. Why does God let these wilderness times come? Well, the Greek word that we have translated here to be tempt, it actually means to test one's faith or virtue or character. It's no accident that biblically the wilderness was often the place where people would begin their ministries. Biblical giants like Moses and Elijah, and obviously here Jesus, all started in the wilderness. And remember where God took the people of Israel to learn how to live with God as his people. The wilderness. It was in their 40 years there that their faith and their trust in him was formed and strengthened. And that alone is an important thing for us to remember. Wilderness times are when our mettle gets tested. They're when we get to dig down deep. And in the process of doing that, we grow into new levels of strength and trust in God. And we grow in our faithfulness to Him. In each of his three temptations, the devil was trying to get Jesus to take matters into his own hands, to rely on his own power, and to prioritize his own needs. And on each occasion, Jesus refused to do that. He chose to rely on God. And in that choice alone, he shows us how we can be faithful when we face our own temptations. We rely on God. We trust in his presence with us. And we look for his leading and for how he does things, for what he prioritizes. We look to God's story given to us in Scripture for guidance on what the faithful response is to our tests. Because as Jesus shows us here, there are times when doing what might seem to be a good thing is not actually the faithful thing. Not if you don't do that good thing for the right reasons and in the right way, God's way. My New Testament professor once said that he believed that it was in the wilderness that Jesus worked out how he was going to carry out his mission. The wilderness prepared him for all that would come in the next 3 years and for how he would respond to it all. Our wilderness times offer the same gifts to us. In the wilderness, we grow and we learn and we get prepared for whatever's coming next. In the wilderness, we discover the ways we can endure and even thrive in the midst of life's fragility. Amen.
Good morning, my friends. As always, I open with a quote, and this one is especially appropriate in the times that we are living. We can let go of burdens like condemnation and worry, perfectionism and insecurity, and we can cling desperately, even through tears, to the assurance that God knows, He cares, and He loves us with an infinite love. We can lay our burdens at the feet of Christ and receive what He offers instead. The quote comes from Sarah Hauser. With all our heart and mind, let us pray to the Lord. Let us lay our requests before Him, saying, Lord, in your mercy, and replying, hear our prayer. For the universal church, in all its diversity and grace, for congregations gathering in grand cathedrals and humble chapels, for Christians worshiping in homes and secret places, for those who minister in word and deed, guide us as we journey through the Lenten season, that we might deepen our faith and strengthen our commitment to your way of justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us to be understanding and forgiving of all those we encounter. Show us how to serve one another, to offer love, care, and support. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the healing of our wounded world, for nations torn by conflict and violence, especially in the Ukraine, the Middle East, and regions of Africa, for diplomatic efforts towards peace, for humanitarian workers bringing aid and comfort, and for all who risk their lives in service of others, grant wisdom to world leaders and courage to those who work for reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the earth, our common home, for rainforests and oceans, mountains and valleys, and all creatures that dwell within, we pray for those affected by climate change, for communities facing drought, floods, and extreme weather. Guide us in being faithful stewards of your creation, that we might preserve its beauty and resources for generations to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the departed and those who mourn, for loved ones we see no longer, for those who died alone or in violence, for those whose names are known only to you, we pause to remember. Comfort all who grieve and assure us of your promise of resurrection and eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who face economic hardship, for families struggling to make ends meet, for those seeking employment, for those facing eviction or hunger, we pray for those who work multiple jobs, for single parents, for the elderly living on fixed incomes. Guide us in creating a more just and equitable society where all have access to life's necessities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy One, you have promised to hear our prayers. Grant us wisdom to perceive your will and the courage to act upon it, that our prayers may be joined with our lives in service to you and our neighbor. We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray with confidence. Now let us pray the prayer that the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We are grateful for all the gifts you give to the building of God's kingdom here at St. Stephen's and in the world beyond. Let's pray together, offering these gifts back to God that He has provided for us. Let us pray the offertory prayer. God of the wilderness, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts and open hands. Amen.
Friends, go now, confessing Christ as Lord in word and deed. Worship and serve the Lord your God and no other. Stand firm in the time of trial. Tell the story of God's goodness and trust in the Lord, whose saving word is always with you. And may God instruct his angels to guard you wherever you go. May Christ Jesus be your refuge and your stronghold. And may the Holy Spirit lead you and put God's word on your lips and in your hearts. Amen.
Walk with thee.